Thank you for that beautiful special. It is now time that we would hear the Word of God preached unto us. And I know that our brother has prepared a message for us, so I'd ask each one of you to listen carefully to the words he has this night and to how they apply to our lives. So I'd ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Jim Yates.
Thank you, Duane. I want to talk this evening a little bit about some prophecies concerning the church. Starting way back in Isaiah. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, if you'll go a couple pages up to ninth chapter, sixth verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now let's go to the Book of Mormon, page 216 in my book. Mosiah 1 was started 102, verse 102. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even though through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and they say he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. These scriptures tell us of Jesus' birth as far back as 742 B.C., hundreds of years before it actually happened. Without his birth and the life he lived and what he taught, there would be no church. He had to be born. The scriptures tell us that he did set up his church, and it tells us how exactly he structured his church. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one verse 28, and God has set some in the church first, apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now go to Ephesians 4, fourth chapter of Ephesians, 11th and 12th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now go to Ephesians, second chapter. Verse 20 and 21. Ephesians 2, 20 and 21. And are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all building fitly framed together groweth into one body, the holy temple of the Lord. The real important part of that is Jesus Christ to be the chief cornerstone. The church was set up just as Christ so ordered. And we see that it lasted till 570 AD. When the falling away took place, clear back in 787 BC, Amos saw this time, 1,357 years before it took place, as we read in Amos chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north, and even unto the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The word was gone. Into what world history calls the Dark Ages. Let's go to Daniel. Time, which is still 600 some odd BC. And we find that Daniel was called on to interpret a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar that no one else could do. The verses leading up to my next scripture, we find that King Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed dreams that caused his spirit to be troubled. And he had trouble sleeping. And he called on his magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show him what they meant. But none could do it. In Daniel 2, 25 to 28, we read that Daniel was brought before the king. Verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and interpret thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the King. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon their bed are these. We see here that Daniel interprets this dream, and he sees a giant image or statue that would stand. And this image represented different kingdoms to come, when they would stand, and what part of the image that they would be. You can continue on reading, and you see exactly what that image would look like, if you desire, but I'm not going to do it for brevity's sake. It's long. But you would find it right there. But we also find that in Daniel, that it took 1,260 years for this statue to stand complete. This occurred in history one time. It took place in world history as well as biblical history. From 570 A.D. to 1829 A.D. In the year of 1830, this statue fell. It was no longer a complete statue. Let's continue to read in the second chapter of Daniel, verse 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, and the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. This tells us that the church is to be restored here on earth, and the very time that these statues would stand in history. And they all stood at once when the church was restored, and then they'd be crumbled one after another. Let's go and read into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And, well, in 1 Corinthians, I'm not going to read all that. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, 11, and in Ephesians 4:20, we see that these things happened, and that the church was restored in 1830 A.D. But in that 1,260 years, the gospel of Christ was taught, was absent from the earth. Many changes were made, and plain and precious things were removed from it. Let's go to page 33 in 1 Nephi. Going to start on page 30 of chapter 3, verse 135 to 144. And here we see that Nephi was talking to an angel. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, Look. And I looked and beheld many nations and kingdoms. And the angel said unto me, What beholdest thou? And I said, I behold many nations and kingdoms. And he said unto me, These are the nations and kingdoms of the Gentiles. And it came to pass that I saw among the nations of the Gentiles the foundation of a great church. And the angel said unto me, Behold the foundation of a church which is most abominable above all other churches, which slayeth the saints of God, yea, and tortureth them, and bind them down, and yoketh them with a yoke of iron, and bring them down into captivity. And it came to pass that I beheld this great and abominable church, and I saw that the devil was the foundation of it. And I also saw gold and silver and silks and scarlets and fine twined linen and all manner of precious clothing, and I saw many harlots. And the angel spake unto me, saying, Behold, the gold and the silver and the silks and the scarlets and the fine twined linen and the precious cloths and the harlots are the desires of this great and abominable church. And also for the praise of the world do they destroy the saints of God and bring them down into captivity. Now go down to verse 165. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld that a book proceedeth out of the mouth of the Jew, and it proceedeth forth from the mouth of the Jew, and it contains the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth, which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of the great and abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. Therefore, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many of the covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this they have done that they might pervert the ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book has gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, that many plain and precious things were taken from the book, which book is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth to all nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen with the Gentiles, which they have gone forth out of captivity. Thou seest because of the plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which was in the Lamb of God. Because of these things which have been taken out of the gospel of the Lamb, and many great do stumble, yea, inasmuch as Satan hath great power over them. You might ask, where did the devil get all this power over this abominable church? And if you just go back to that verse 141, we see that the devil is the founder of that church. That's where he got all his power in that church. And then verses 142 to 144, as we read, we found some of the things that were in that church. And we found out many things were taken from that church, from the scriptures. And other things were added to the Bible in those dark years. Can we find those? That is true? Yes, we can. We can find that this really happened. We can find it written in the Catholic history. Catholic Church history. It says a great schism in the Catholic Church came in 1378 A.D., and it lasted for 50 years. The Italians elected Pope Urban VI, and the French cardinals chose Pope Clement VII. So the church had two popes at the same time. And that history says that the two popes cursed each other year after year until the council disposed of them and elected another, Pope Sixtus V. And he had a version of the Bible prepared and declared it to be authentic. 2 years later, they had another pope. Pope Clement VIII, he declared that the one that the previous pope had was full of errors and ordered another one to be made. What was left out, what was added to the scriptures in that time, we have no idea. But I suspect there were many. Because the scripture says there were many plain and precious things left out. In the past few years, we have seen this done once again. Many more changes have come about to the Bible. This time, however, we know who made these changes and what they left out, because we can't find it in ours. And just what did they leave out? They left out 64,098 words from the King James Authorized Version, plus adding some of their own. One very important word they left out. That word is doctrine. Why do you suppose they left it out of the Bible? The dictionary tells us that doctrine is a dogma. And if you look up dogma, it says unchangeable. The doctrine that Jesus taught is unchangeable. So it had to be left out, so those who rewrote the Bible and added to could tell you their thoughts. The thoughts that were not according to Jesus that he put in the scripture, such as baptism's not necessary to be saved. Once saved, always saved. Completely opposite of the truth. We recall what Jesus said to John the Baptist when he came down to be baptized. John said, "No, I have need to be baptized of you." Jesus said, "Suffer it be so, to fulfill all righteousness." And so he was baptized. And he said something else. "Follow thou me and do the things you see me do." Baptize. He taught that. Now, according to the thoughts of men, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. They got a bad thing coming when they stand up in front of the bar of God. Now, they may have done a lot of things throughout their life that they were forgiven for, but they were not saved, and they don't know they're saved until they stand before the bar of God. So you can take out doctrine if you want to, but you'll not get the truth if you do. And I also wonder, these are educated men. What was going through their mind when they read in Deuteronomy? Chapter 4, verse 2. "Ye cannot add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord God which I command you." Also in chapter 12, Deuteronomy, verse 32. "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." And of course, the one in Revelation, 22nd chapter, 18th and 19th verse. "For I testify unto you that every man heareth the words of the prophecy of the book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. These scriptures tell us that you do not add to or take away from the scriptures. We are commanded of God that we do not do it. If we go to outline history of the Church of Christ, we see the fulfilling of the prophecy of the returning of the gospel of Christ to the earth once again, as it was accomplished some 2,500 years after it was given by Isaiah. When Martin Harris took some of the characters to a prominent professor of languages, he told Martin that they were a combination of Egyptian, Chaldaic, Assyric, and Arabic, and that the translation was correct. And if he would just bring the manuscripts or plates to him, he would help in the translation. But when they were told they were a religious work and the plates were sealed, his words were just exactly what Isaiah said 2,500 years before. Got my pages all messed up somewhere. Maybe I left them home. There it is. And what did Isaiah say in his prophecy? His prophecy said that it will be that you cannot read a sealed book. If you want to read it yourself, you can go to Isaiah 29:11. It's there. Now we know that it was the Book of Mormon that he was talking about. Martin knew that, but the professor didn't. And that book was going to bring back some of those plain and precious things that was taken out by that great and abominable church. They didn't have their hands on that book. God set forth these prophecies knowing that they would come to pass, and being an unchangeable God, one that does not lie nor cease to be God, there are more prophecies to come to pass in our generation. So with all the turmoil and tribulation yet to come, we can be glad instead of sad, because we see that He is truly unchangeable and will protect the righteous. There were those in past generations that would like to live in our generation. And I'm sure that there are those in our generation that would like to live in their generation. Would like to have been there and heard Jesus when He preached the Sermon on the Mount. Or maybe would have liked to hear King Benjamin when he talked to his people. But the Lord had other plans for us, as He did for those who lived so long ago. You turn to Acts 17:26. Acts 17:26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell upon all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation. We see here that God picked the place and the time when we would be born, where we would live during that time. And if He picked it, can we ask for any better? Jesus spoke of some of the end times in which we're living. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth shall not pass away," or shall pass away, excuse me, "but my words shall not pass away." Now you go to Matthew 24:11. 11-14. "And many false prophets shall arise, and many shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then the end shall come." We haven't seen too much of this yet, but we have those that are doing their part. But they can only do so much. And they have to be able to find those who will accept what they have to say according to the Scriptures. It has begun. More is coming. Because He said it would. In all the world. And He does not lie. I thank You for Your time. And I ask that we may all live in such a way that we will not be deceived, such as we've seen this, a lot of precious things taken out of the Scriptures to deceive us, if possible. And that we may remain strong in our faith and endure to the end. Thank you.